Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
So hopefully you already listened to episode one. This is episode two of the 2023 running backs. So we got a lot of good guys on the show.
Yep.
So, and we don't pull punches right from the start then. So we do everything in alphabetical order. So we didn't plan it this way, but it lines up quite nicely then. Definitely suggest listen to the first show, and you're in a treat for this show then too. So on the docket, Jahmyr Gibbs, Eric Gray, Evan Hull, Muhammad Ibrahim, Roschon Johnson, Dwayne McBride, Kenny McIntosh, and Kendre Miller. Ready to get started?
Oh, yeah. I'm going first, so you just go ahead.
Oh, come on. I
got shafted last show, so I'm starting first this time.
Usually I try to divvy it up. Every other one gets it then. I usually do give you the dibs first off then, but this time I'll give you the Gibbs.
Okay.
You like that?
Give me the Gibbs. Yeah, that's super clever.
That was awful.
Yeah. Dad joke.
First up, Jahmyr Gibbs. Alabama via Georgia Tech then. So first 2 years were at Georgia Tech then, last year at Alabama. So at the combine, he came in at 5'9", 199 pounds, so almost 200.
Yep, almost.
Should have ate like a lead weight or something.
Yeah,
like, 200 make it look nicer. But he ran a 4.36 40, a 33.5-inch vertical, and had a 1.52 10-yard split then.
Yeah, so 98th percentile 40, 45th percentile vertical.
And then was productive at Georgia Tech then, but a whole new level at Alabama then. So ran for 926 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns, had 44 receptions for 444 yards, 10 yards per catch, and 3 touchdowns. So you got the Gibbs, you got the dibs on the Gibbs.
Yep. So
Scotty, take it away.
This dude is Alvin Kamara reincarnated. And after watching him torch my Tennessee Volunteers this year,
I love that game.
after watching him torch them, I was like, man, oh man! Like I already knew the hype around Bijan was pretty special, but I was like, dang, Gibbs is super good. His pass protection's not the greatest, and he's not gonna break a bunch of tackles. He breaks. You know, he's mostly a make-you-miss guy, so he's going to have a lot of missed tackles forced, but maybe not as many broken tackles. But it's not that he's not physical. He still runs, doesn't go down easy, and he has pretty good contact balance. But everything else is super special. Like, you got a guy that exceptional vision, always gravitates to daylight, runs with excellent tempo and pace. He's up there with the best in the class as far as setting up his running lanes and being super patient and waiting for that cutback. And man, when he hits that cutback, it's gone. Like he is gone in a blink, 0 to 100 gone. And I thought he was faster than 4.36. Like I thought he was going to be 4.3 flat. Like he's super fast, man. And super quick feet. And he does not lose any speed throughout with his cuts. And you talk about, lateral foot quickness, this guy's got it. And then the thing that gets you excited is this is not a power back guy with a super thick frame. You expect them to like turn the ball over. Nope. No fumbles, 151 attempts. And he had only 2 fumbles, in 2021 on 143 carries. So, he hangs onto the football, and man, oh man, if you can just get this guy out in space, like just get him the ball, he can catch the ball, he can run some routes, can be a plush route runner and separates pretty well. So 44 catches on 52 targets, only 1 drop, and the drop was not on him. He got quite a few tens on here because he's got special skills. He got an 86 for me. I give some 10s sometimes when you're a little hesitant to, but dude, this guy, he came in at number 2 on my big board, 86.
Yeah, you give out the 10s like I don't know what then. You're too frivolous with that money then.
unless the draft position kills him, the landing spot, man, this guy's getting taken number two in maybe, and in my opinion, in Superflex leagues, unless he gets killed. But
debatable as far as you need a quarterback then.
We'll see. Single QB, it's pretty no-brainer in my eyes. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, but I gave him a 78, but I'm a little more stingy as far as my 10s. I gave two 10s this whole running back class.
Well, please tell me he's your number two guy.
Number two guy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's number two. Yeah, okay. He's in his own tier at number two then. I thought he had very good vision. I thought he had very good patience then. Sets up defenders very well. I agree with that then. He loses things as far as that physicality, power then. He still could break arm tackles. He has good contact balance then too. It's not Alvin Kamara elite contact balance, but it's still very good then.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And he's home run speed then. So Tennessee knows that very well. And the other thing they know very well is he has instant acceleration. Like, it is wonderful. I think it's the best acceleration in the class then. So he got a 10 there. That's one of my two 10s I gave out then. And he gets the edge easily. It's not a problem. It's going to translate to the NFL very well. There's some guys that you worry about where, are you going to get to the edge? Get to the edge in college, but can you do that in the NFL? It's not going to be a problem for him in the NFL. And then he has this elusiveness. So he has this jump step. He has this nasty crossover. So he'd be an excellent pickup basketball player then. He'd just kill guys on the crossover then. And always makes the first guy miss. Never gets tackled by that first guy. It's one-on-one then. And changes speed very well then. And like I said, it's an instant acceleration then. And then as a receiver, he's a weapon then. One drop and many, many pass attempts then. And honestly, he was the only and weapon that Alabama truly had this year then. So in the past, they had these amazing wide receivers, had these other running backs then, but it was Jahmyr Gibbs and nothing else then. So, like I said, the comp that he gets is the Alvin Kamara, but I think he's, like I said, like the contact balance is not as good, but I think he's a lot faster than Alvin Kamara then too. So I think I have him as a faster Alvin Kamara. So I think that's what he's going to, his bread and butter is going to be that passing game, that sort of that being that PPR type back then with some inside the tackle carries then. I love Jahmyr Gibbs then. He's easily my number two in this class then.
We got to bump your score up a little bit here. So tell me how he doesn't get a 10 for ball security without any fumbles.
He had two fumbles
in 2021.
Years.
I mean, he can't be perfect.
He can be perfect. I already told you, I don't give anyone 10s if they fumbles.
Well, explain the receiving. He's a plush route runner, got the production.
There's another guy in this class that is better than him, so that's why.
All right. I'll give you that.
That's my other 10.
Your elusiveness has to be a 10. He's insanely quick. And when you run 4.36 and run 98th percentile, that's a 10, dude. 98th percentile 40, and he's probably faster than that on film is a 10.
All that matters is he still came in the same spot that you came in your list then.
You got to bump him up, dude.
Both in second place.
Get closer to the 86.
At the higher numbers. That's all. I like to say, I'm very, like to save my money. I save my 10s too. So
yeah,
I don't like to give them out. No free money here. So yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs, easily the 102. As far as running backs, then if you need a wide receiver, we'll cover those later on. Then too, haven't delved into the full tape as far as wide receivers yet, so I can't say if I have a wide receiver above them. But Jahmyr Gibbs in your single QB leagues, it's most likely he's going to be 102 then. Moving on then, ready to move on?
Yep.
Anything else on Gibbs?
It's going to be tough to follow up Gibbs, so I feel bad for Eric Gray.
Yeah, it's always tough when you're following up Bijan or Gibbs. And I feel bad and I try to flush my mind or maybe take a day off or take a few hours off then.
Yep.
And then watch the next guy. But Eric Gray out of Oklahoma, another guy via Tennessee then. Yep. So another volunteer then. At the combine, he came in at 5 feet, 9.5 inches, 207 pounds then. So a decent size then. Did not run the 40, but had a 9 feet, 10-inch broad jump, and a 37.5-inch vertical.
Yeah, so 85th percentile vertical, 44th percentile broad jump.
And as far as best, had a couple decent years at Tennessee, and then this past year at Oklahoma was his best year. Ran for 1,366 yards, 6.4 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns. Had 33 receptions for 229 yards and for 6.9 yards per catch. Then,
yep.
So I'd get Eric Gray. So,
so Tennessee didn't. Well, they did kind of force this guy out, but not because of talent. He took that McDonald's money. That's what the rumor is. So
yeah, you're talking about McDonald's, not like a McDonald's bag.
Yeah,
but he's in the NFL now, so he can take the money.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and he should have waited till the nil deals then.
So
he take the money that way. But yeah. Eric Gray, so I have him as hashtag solid. So I don't think mm-hmm. he's special in any particular area then, but he's a complete back, and he does everything good. So good vision, pretty good patience, allows the blocks to develop then. Physicality, he can carry guys. However, he's not a guy that's going to push the pile like a Charbonnet or like a Rodriguez we'll talk about later then. Good contact balance then. His top end speed is enough, but not elite then. His acceleration is enough, but not elite then. Lucidness, he has he slices, he slivers then, has a spin move, has a nice jump cut then, so he can make those first guy misses, get a guy to miss in the second level then. But he's not a guy that's going to Jahmyr Gibbs you out of your pants then either. So, and then receiving, I think this is probably one of his better categories then. He had no drops this year then, had 33 catches then. He actually looks like a natural pass catcher. He's not like a guy that's going to be running like exquisite routes then, but he's a guy that could be using the screen game, do some sort of quick slants then. And then his ball security is pretty good. Had one fumble then this past year with a lot of workload then. And like I said, I think he's, like you said, I wasn't like blown away by his tape then, but he got a decent score here. Just because of how solid he was then, and just did everything pretty good then, pretty well then. Like I said, it's not elite in any particular area then, but a guy that I have in that fourth tier then. So we have the guy to be named coming up then in another episode. Then we have Jahmyr Gibbs then, and then we have the third tier, and then he falls in this draftable tier, and a guy I'm going to be sort of targeting and trying to draft here probably third round or beyond in my rookie drafts then. But we'll have to see where his landing spot is in the NFL, because that's going to determine a lot of different things for these guys going forward then.
What was your score?
68 then.
All right. Well, I loved Eric Gray then. So I thought he was special in a lot of spots. Super, super good. So number one, I think he profiles as a potential three down running back if he can block better. If he can block better. Mm-hmm. So he's got good size and such, so I think he can carry that. But he's got above average between the tackles and outside the tackles, especially vision. He is patience, and he is, you know, a very decisive downhill runner. I thought he used his block super well to get into the second level, and when he hits the hole, he explodes through the hole. So I really liked his patience and vision, and that sort of decisiveness blend. So he got pretty high scores there for me. He's not the super most physical back. He does get his pads down and finish runs, just not a punisher. And he's got plus contact balance and will break a few. So he got above average scores there. I thought, what did you think his 40 would be?
So I'm probably thinking about that 4.5, 4.6.
Dude, he's 4.45. This dude's fast as lightning.
Well, if he's fast as lightning, he should have ran the combine and should run his pro.
Well, that's true. Yep. I think he's 4.45, so I gave him a 7. There's no way he's slower than 4.5.
I think he's like a Josh Jacobs type speed then. That's what I'm seeing.
He's faster than Josh Jacobs.
I didn't see much as far as like breakaway runs or things that sort of show up that way. But I think he's probably very similar to Tank Bigsby as far as speed then. I see him very similar to Tank Bigsby as far as play style then. And I think both of them are these sort of more complete backs that you're looking for, but they're just not overly special in a particular way. I have Tank Bigsby a tier ahead of him, but their probably scores are not too dissimilar then.
This is where he separates himself from Tank Bigsby. So he is super quick. He explodes through the hole. Not the great, like I gave him a 7 there. but elusiveness, moves in open space. I mean, what do you want to see? So I gave him a 9 because there's other people in this class that are elite special. But he's got a nasty spin, good juke. His shiftiness is exceptional. He cuts, really well without losing speed. Really good dead leg. So he's got it all, man. He can make you miss. And this guy's got the receiving chops. He caught 34 balls on 40 targets, no drops, and he had 3 years of 20-plus receptions with some pretty good production. 6 career drops on 101 targets.
Yeah, and he scored well. I agree with you.
Plus route runner.
His elusiveness and his pass catching are very, very good. And that's where his two highest scores I have.
Yeah, plus route runner. Catches that. I forget what game it was, but he caught one-handed ball in traffic, and I'm like, yes. Yes. Joey is given that extra 10 bump here for this one. And then one fumble on 212 carries. So really good ball security. Like I said, the only thing I really knocked him on was his pass protection. And I thought he did a lot of things really, really good. And then other things pretty darn good. So 77 for me. And he came in at number 7.
Yeah, let me see. As far as numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he's in that 7, 8, 9 range.
Yep.
So that's where his tier's at then. So he's comparable.
Yeah, I think for after him, I really like Tank Bigsby, but his score, Bigsby's a little bit farther down. I thought he was a little more complete, but we'll see where he gets drafted and that sort of thing. I like Eric Gray.
They're comparable. It's not like they're too far off in my eyes then. Yeah.
No, and I think they're both second round dynasty picks unless they get crushed.
Oh yeah, I agree that it's. Like I said, it all comes down to draft capital. It all comes down to landing spot. If they're stuck behind some, if one of these guys goes to the Jets, then
dude, there's some bad landing spots for running backs. Goodness sakes, this league. A couple years ago we talked about how the quarterbacks, there's so many people retiring, so many people on their way out, and how what a big change that would be. And then we're still talking about it because most of these quarterbacks didn't pan out. But at the running back position, all the top tier guys, almost most of them are they're getting older, they're on their way out the door, and you've got this huge influx of talent, and the league's changing. There's not these. Teams are not expecting people to come in and carry the ball 20, 30 times a game. That's very few and far between. Yeah, it's going to be a running back by committee, and so it changes how you draft.
And that's what makes the guys that can catch that much more valuable because
explosive guys.
Oh, explosive, yeah. Yep. We're in leagues now. Nobody plays just straight up standard rules, standard scoring anymore. Everyone's at least doing a half point PPR. Then I like half point PPR. I think it sort of balances things a little bit better.
Yeah.
You got to have those guys that catch because that's a differentiating for them then too, especially if you're in a timeshare. And you have the guys that have explosiveness, so you can have one run that can make your point total that you need for that week. Then those are things you're definitely looking for, but. I think Eric Gray can do it all. I think Tank Bigsby can do it all then, and they're very similar players then. But they could end up in a timeshare. There's going to be a guy that goes with Tony Pollard then. So someone has to replace Zeke, and Pollard's coming off a fractured ankle then too. So it's there's a bunch of spots that
I like that landing spot.
Doom them then. Yeah, it's not a bad spot because Tony Pollard's another guy that can handle.
Yeah, you need somebody who can early down work but can still be dynamic.
Yeah, so. And if he gets the Zeke touchdowns that he had last year, he's going to be a valuable asset then too. So next on the list, Evan Hull of Northwestern then. So at the combine came in at 5'10", 209 pounds, ran a 4.4740, 37-inch vertical, 10 feet, 3-inch broad jump, and then had one of the few guys run a 3-cone drill. So it ran a 6.9 3-cone drill. So very good 3-cone drill. So what are the percentiles?
Yeah, so 81st percentile, 40. 81st percentile three cone, 82nd percentile vertical jump, 79th percentile broad jump.
Yep. And then this past 2 years at Northwestern, he was Northwestern's offense then, and in 2022 ran for 913 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, had 55 receptions for 546 yards, 9.9 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. So this is your guy, Evan Hall.
Yep. So
what do you think?
I don't know. Maybe he's a third down change of pace back. He can catch the ball. So that's kind of where I think his role might be. But you got a guy that averaged 4.2 yards per carry. That's tough. So I thought the reason why is his patience is he's just too patient at times and he's indecisive. And he does okay like running between the tackles, but he just struggles to like set his blocks up to get past that first level. And when he does, he runs with above average, physicality, and he finishes runs, but he breaks far less tackles than you'd expect him to. And his top end speed is definitely mostly build up speed, because I didn't see 4.47 speed. He didn't win to the corner in a lot of runs. So I didn't think he was in the 4.4s. I would have said maybe 4.5, maybe 4.53, something, in between there. But, and his quickness is he's very much just like a one speed runner, doesn't have a lot of burst, and his moves in open space, there's not much there. He's got a good jump cut, but really you don't see anything else. So, he's got good ball security, only 2 fumbles on 220 carries, and he had 54 catches on 66 targets, only 3 drops. So he's got excellent hands. He's a solid route runner and can catch the ball in traffic. And he got plenty of opportunities at Northwestern last year because he was literally what they had, and very not good in not too great in pass protection. So he came in at 62. So he was number 17 on my board, and I don't hate him, but like, I don't know what his role could possibly be at the next level. Can he come in and like, is that speed there? And I just didn't see it a lot of times. And so can he be that like third down guy that can be a home run hitter, that can also catch, maybe if he can learn to block better, they get some third down play, but he's not an early down back. And so that's where he's going to be. He might be a special teams guy. He seems like that kind of guy to me.
Tell me what you think about this comp then.
Okay.
Rex Burkhead.
I'll buy it. I like it. Yep. That's a good comp.
That's what I saw when I was looking at him then. So I agree. He has build-up speed then. Doesn't really play that 4.47. I think he has slower acceleration. He's not dynamic. He has
6.9 three cone. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I thought his feet weren't the best either then. So he tests very well, but I didn't see it necessarily on the film then. I give him some props then because he was literally the only guy there at a very awful Northwestern team. So they had 1 win last year.
Yeah.
1. Not just in the Big Ten, like all season. So 1 win.
Yeah. And maybe that's why the yards per carry is down, because like when you're not winning and your team sucks, like, people aren't busting off off the line and making big holes for you. So you're running in a lot of like muddy runs, low quality runs. So maybe that's where some of that comes from. But
yeah, and like I said, he's still on my board because of that. I still think he has something to offer them.
Like, think about like best landing spot. Let's say he goes to Kansas City, where they're going to use that pass catching running back. He's going to be draftable for sure then. So you just got to have a skill.
And his pass catching skills is actually pretty good. So he lines up all over the place then. I saw slants. I saw wheel routes then. He had 14 catches against Duke. 14.
Yep.
so he can do it then. And he's wonderful in the screen game. So very talented from that standpoint then. But he just doesn't offer much as far as like elusiveness. You said that he has that jump cut then, but not much beyond that. Other than that, he sidesteps guys. That's about it.
Yep.
So it's not anything that's necessarily going to win in the NFL then. But I think he'll get drafted. I think he has a place on an NFL roster. but it's gonna take it the right spot for him to be that yeah. guy then. But like I said, if he could have some like Rex Burkhead useful games then mm-hmm. at the Texans or back when he was in New England then, in the right situation, I think he could be useful in fantasy. But I don't think he's going to be a week in, week out fantasy stud for your team then. I have him in that that tier six range then. But a few of these guys are tier six then.
No, what number did you give him?
64 then.
64, yep. Okay. Yeah, he's the last guy on my board that if everything went perfect, he's the last draftable guy at number 17. Everybody yeah. 18 and down, I'm out on.
Yeah, he's definitely draftable, but it's going to take the right spot then. So, yep. But we'll see then. Next guy on the list, Muhammad Ibrahim then. Or Ibrahim?
I think it's Ibrahim.
Yeah. So next guy on the list, Muhammad Ibrahim out of Minnesota then. So came in at 5'8", 207 pounds. 5'8", 203 pounds then. Thought he would be bigger. I really yep. thought he'd be bigger.
Yep.
And didn't do any of the time drills then. And Scotty, I know I was ripping on the 23-year-olds.
Yep.
But he's 24. 20,
he's going to be 25 this year.
24 and a half.
Well, you ready to like take him off your draft board? Because I like him. He's still, film score, he's still up there okay.
Towards Achilles, too.
Yeah, 2021, tore that Achilles, yeah. man.
He looked actually really good.
To have an Achilles tear, he looked good, yeah. Yeah, after, you know, a year removed from that.
Yeah, in 2020, he was a very good running back. Mm-hmm. In 2022, his stats, so he had 1,665 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 20 touchdowns, 7 catches for 50 yards, for 7.1 yards per catch then. So he actually got a decent film score. So I give him a 68. He was very physical. So he likes contact then. He lowers the boom then. And that's why I thought he'd be bigger. Like he plays a lot bigger than this 203. I don't know if he was trying to slim down to not run the 40.
Well, they listed him 5'10", 210 all year. And then 5'8", 203. So that's a 2-inch yeah. shorter is pretty.
And 7 pounds lighter then. Yeah. yeah. But he played a lot bigger than I thought. He had great patience. I thought he sees the holes very well. His top end speed wasn't terrible. I thought he'd be like that 4.5 type range yep, then.
Me too.
I thought he had decent quickness to acceleration burst then. He was pretty elusive. So he's shifty. He had quick cuts then. He had a spin move. He's not going to juke guys out of their shoes then, but he was pretty solid then. So I think he's a good running back then. But definitely limited as far as his usage in the passing game then. He had no drops, but 7 catches this past year. And then ball security, he had just 2 fumbles on a ton of carries then this in 2022 mm-hmm. then. Pass protection leaves something to offer then. But yeah. I think he's one of those solid running backs. But like I said, it's his age is a yep. big negative then, and then he's not going to offer much in the sort of the passing game then, unless they just weren't using him that way in Minnesota then. But like I said, I liked what I saw. I comped him to Zach Moss, but the funny thing is, he's like 2 years older than Zach Moss, who's been in the league for
his running style
for 3 years.
Yeah, his running style, I can buy the Zach Moss comp.
Yeah, I'm like, this is Zach Moss, but mm-hmm. I felt bad. Like he's an older Zach Moss by a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I was as high on him as you. The big discrepancy is the elusiveness. So you see him have an okay stiff arm, and he has like maybe he's like more of a one cut runner, but he's not a make you miss and doesn't show a lot of moves. So I knocked him pretty good there.
Yeah, I thought he was below average. Like shifty and the quick cuts. Like he's yeah. not. He's not super elusive, but I gave him a 7 in that regard then.
Yeah, he got a 4 for me. So a 4. I did not like his elusiveness. I thought he was pretty poor. But like you said, good vision, above average, routinely finds the cutback lane, good patience, and he's decisive downhill runner, uses his blocks fairly well. His legs, when he gets contact, like they do not stop. with that low center of gravity, it's just drag that pile, baby. And, you know, that stat that, you know, Pro Football Focus gives, that missed tackles forced, a lot of that is because of broken tackles. So he had 71 missed tackles forced and 1,106 yards after contact. So anytime you get up above like 700, 800, that's pretty good score. Yeah, I know he had a ton of carries, but that's still really good.
He's a physical guy too. He's physical. He runs hard.
Yep.
I love watching his games.
Yep.
The negatives are yep. scary.
And then here's the negative. So the problem is he gets to the line and into the second level, but he never gets out of it. So he, unless it's blocked super well, he's not going to be able to be creative in that second level and make these big boom plays. And so that's why I think he's going to be an exclusive early down running back that maybe can offer a little upside. But you're going to take him off the field on third down. Cause I thought his hands might be okay. Anything more than above average would be, you know, an overestimation there. And he protects the ball. So I like him as an early down running back. And I don't know, maybe could offer a little bit of upside there. He can take volume still yet, even at this age. You don't want to draft somebody that's 25, but this is a guy you're going to probably get in your third, fourth round of rookie drafts. And if he has an okay spot that he might get a chance in, let's say he goes to Dallas. They need that early down back. Let's say he goes there and he gets some decent volume off the bat. Sure. But I suspect he's going to have a similar sort of Zach Moss-like career.
Well, Zach Moss had
a
very good game in Indianapolis at the end of the year then. So
yeah.
maybe he'll have one of those then.
Yeah, until they take another back. So
yeah, he's good, but he's just not special then. So he's not off my board. I think he's gonna make an NFL team then, but the age is
I don't know if I gave my score 63, so 15.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, I excellent college running back, but we'll see how it translates to the pros then. And then like I said, the age is tough then. But so next on the list,
we gotta get pumped up for this guy.
Pumped up,
yeah, you gotta pumped up for this guy.
Oh, we'll talk about that pumped up here.
Yeah.
So Roschon Johnson, the stablemate of Bijan Robinson in Texas, so came in at 6 foot. 219 pounds, so good size. We're in a 4.5840, 31.5 inch vertical, 1.52 10 yard split, and had a 10 feet 2 inch broad jump.
So 43rd percentile 40, 22nd percentile vertical jump, 74th percentile broad jump.
And then over his, so actually was a quarterback his first year. And that was actually his best rushing year, his best receiving year. So I'm not sure where they list him as a quarterback there. But this past year, 2022, ran for 554 yards, 6.0 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, 14 catches for 128 yards, 9.1 yards per reception, and for 1 touchdown. So I started off with Ibrahim. So you get Mr. Johnson here.
So he is thick. And
agreed.
He will absolutely, you know, he's going to be super tough to bring down, very physical, unaffected by contact, can absolutely lay the lumber if needed, excellent contact balance, and that's all. Pretty much it. Hangs on to the football, and so, he had one fumble in.
So we had to get pumped up for this?
Yeah, no. Like, he just...
So we had to get pumped up for this?
So, no. So I just like he, because he can run you over.
He's one of those tier 6 guys.
He is literally a short yardage power back that is athletically challenged. That's what I put. So he got a 62 for me. Vision is very just okay. Maybe a little below. He just really just tries to run over people. He doesn't really read blocks very much. It's just kind of just reach me the ball. I'm going to run. That's it. And his top end film speed is below average. I thought 4.58 was a phenomenal time for him. I thought he might run 4.7 or 4.6.5. His acceleration, he's got an okay sort of one cut running style, but his start stop is just like just so, so slow. Receiving 2 drops and only 14 targets. So I'm just not super excited. And then in pass protection, he did okay. So, I mean, he's a goal line back. That's basically it.
I couldn't agree more. So I have limited use power back in the NFL, bulldozer.
Yep. That's all you need to say.
Not looking to draft unless TD only leagues.
Yep.
And nobody plays in only TD only leagues.
Yep.
Vision. Patience is limited. Definitely highest scores in physicality, power, finishing runs, breaking tackles, contact balance. Top end speed is not there. He's more lumbering than anything. Quickness is not there. He's not elusive then. Slow cuts, loses speed. He actually is a decent hurdler, so I don't know if he did a hurdling back in high school or whatnot then, but I saw him hurdle a few guys, and that wasn't too bad. Receiving-wise, limited to screen use only then. He had 2 drops, but that was about 13% of his opportunities then, so we'll drop 1 out of every 9 then. So limited in that regard. Fumble, had 1 fumble, which is, I guess, okay, but didn't have the necessarily ball him to counteract that then. So this is a guy, one point I want to make about him is don't be fooled by his draft capital.
And don't be fooled by the hype either, because he's getting it.
He's getting hype, and he's, yep. I see him on these, I think it was like CBS Sportsline. He's yep. top 5 in the class or something like that.
Yeah, these people, they're not watching film. So
And this dude will get drafted fairly high.
Of course. And because he keeps saying Dallas for this early running back spot. He could go to Dallas.
No, he is Tommy Tremble. Remember Tommy Tremble?
The Tommy Tremble of the running back position?
Tommy Tremble, the running back.
Tommy Tremble will run you over and kill you.
Yeah. And this guy's a football player. Like, he is, and he's an excellent special teamer too. I didn't watch special teams, but that's what I'm reading about.
Yep.
And so these guys that are excellent special teamers, football players, former quarterbacks, understand the game very well. Coaches are going to fall in love with them, and he will be drafted. He'll get a decent. I bet he get 4th round draft capital. I won't be surprised to get drafted in the 4th round. And so people are going to be fooled by that.
Yeah.
But don't be fooled. He's not going to make your fantasy team better.
Nope.
He's going to make your NFL team better, but he's not going to make your fantasy team better. So I can honestly see the Bills love special teamers. I can see the Bills drafting him as a special teamers and a power back on that team to complement Cook.
At 62, what'd you have?
I have a 65 then. So, but okay. The moral of the story for him is don't be fooled by the draft capital and landing spot for him. He's not a guy that's going to make your fantasy team better. End all be all. Moving on. Dwayne McBride, UAB. Came in at 5'10", 209 pounds. Did not run the 40 or participate in any drills then. But definitely a very productive back these past 2 years, and definitely his best year in 2022 here. Ran for 1,713 yards, 7.4 yards a carry, 19 touchdowns. Only had 2 catches for 10 yards then. So I think I start with off with McBride.
Yeah.
Here,
so
right?
The thing to mention here too is they already had their pro day and he did not participate because he had a hammy at the combine, not running the 40.
Well, we all have hammies.
I know that you hate that. Well, yeah, he had a hamstring injury. But he is going to do an individual workout. So I think that there's some questions that need solved. So I'm hoping he does that.
Yeah, I think Tajay Spears, he came to Buffalo and did an individual workout. So they do individual workouts with the teams here.
Well, no, he's going to do a workout to like individual, probably like pro day thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes these guys that are smaller schools, then they go to bigger schools and do that. But usually, I think UAB will have one, but I can't say for certain.
Yeah.
But I think I get to start off with Mr. McBride here then. So I actually liked him.
I like him too. I think I like him more than I scored him.
Yeah, I think he definitely gets hurt on a few issues.
Yep.
Two issues. We'll start with the negatives. get those out of the way. Ball security,
mm-hmm.
major issue, 5 fumbles. Receiving in hands, zero drops, but 2 catches.
Yep.
So, and the one catch I saw was a check down. So I didn't see the other catch, but he looked okay.
I mean, and that was the thing. Like, I wanted to see him catch balls at the combine, but he didn't get to do any of that. So yeah, I couldn't see him catch anything. So
that those things right there definitely hurt the score. So I think that's mm-hmm. why he wasn't higher than I thought. I ultimately scored him. And I sort of bumped him up a tier compared to another guy that was scored the same, because I liked the other stuff I saw better. So
yep.
I thought this guy was excellent. So the best thing for him was he has wonderful balance. And he can just shed tacklers and he's like bounces off of people, and it's just a pleasure to watch him run. Then he's a sort of pretty good physicality. He runs a little bit higher than needs to lower his pads a little more than, but decent from that regard. I think he sees the cutback lanes very well. He's sort of natural as far as the vision. Patience is pretty good then. He doesn't have as far as top end speed, doesn't have that breakaway type speed then. But he can pull away from linebackers, and I think his speed is enough. But I'm definitely interested to see what he runs the 40 in then, too. Mm-hmm. What do you think he runs the 40 at? What based on the film score here?
4.55.
Yeah, I think that's probably about where he's at.
That's best case scenario, I think. 4.55.
Yeah. I think the 4.55 is the range I was thinking about too. Then, and then his elusiveness. I think he has very good hips. Very good. Like oily. he's one of those guys that never going to get a hip replacement surgery. So his hips are pristine. And great cuts then. So I gave him pretty good elusiveness scores then as well then too. And I see him as a natural running back. I see him as a poor man's Nick Chubb. That's what I wrote down here then.
I think Chubb can catch. Yeah. I hope McBride can catch. But if he had the receiving.
But Chubb doesn't catch, so.
Chubb can catch. Okay. But I appreciate the comp. I think that the running styles are a little similar.
Yeah, so that's why I think they're both excellent balance then, better athletes than you would think then. And the poor man's Nick Chubb. That's what I'm seeing here. And then I wish. Like I said, I wish he would get higher scores. It wasn't for the receiving, ball security.
Yep.
Those are things that sort of knock him down then. I gave him a 68 then.
And again, this isn't the production episode where you're given the non-film score, but he faced 2 Power 5 defenses. So that's tough.
A little bit easier running room.
I think it was LSU they played and they shut him down. So
yeah, that game hit. He didn't look like he did the other games.
No. What score did you give him?
A 68.
No kidding. That's what I gave him. So 68. So he, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I thought he had good to plus vision, quick, decisive, good patience, makes very good decisive cuts. He's not as much of an outside the tackle runner as you want him. A lot of that's because I don't think he has the speed. To get the edge. So they run him a lot just between the tackles, and he's a phenomenal dude. Like he is one of the toughest downhill physical runners in the class. Really gets pads down, doesn't go down on first contact, and excellent, excellent contact balance. I mean, he took a legit shot in one of those carries, and just like it was nothing, it just stopped him, went right back at it. Just easily sheds tackles. And if he comes out at his workout and runs a good 40 and shows that he can catch the ball, he's going to come up my board some. So I have him at number 11 right now, and I think he could get up into that third tier. Right now I have him at like the start of the fourth tier, or right there, right around the start of the fourth tier, because I need to see those things. But otherwise, elusiveness, very good plus jump cut and lateral quickness. And I like Dwayne McBride. I like him more than I scored him. He's an early down running back with upside to be able to handle a more if needed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
I, Yeah, I have him around the similar range then. So he's in that tier four, and he's probably around that eight to ten range as far as the running backs then. So
yeah,
he's definitely a guy that has the tools. Like I said, I wish I had the time score on him,
mm-hmm.
and I wish I had the receiving chops or ability to at least see what he could do.
Yep.
It'd be great to see him at the combine and see if he looked completely unnatural or it looked somewhat competent then. But that's where he gets knocked down here. But but possibly poor man's Nick Chubb. You heard it here.
I like him, dude. I like Dwayne McBride.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably would draft him over a couple of the other guys that I have like right there above him or around him, just because I liked him better. So
how about McBride or Eric Gray?
Oh, Eric Gray, dude.
Just I think that's not the pass close. Catching.
Eric Gray 78 and McBride 68. That's a 10.
Yeah, I have him similar scored, but I think with the passing.
Well, the people I have him around are Chase Brown and Sean Tucker. So, and we haven't talked about Sean Tucker yet, but
yeah, I have the tier that McBride's in is A-Chain, Sean Tucker, and Eric Gray. So,
okay, you got him actually bumped up a little bit higher than I do. So,
yeah, as far as the
tier, yeah,
the tier, and that's
where he will go if he runs at above a 4.55, you know, slower or faster than the 4.55, and can catch the ball at least like just. Don't have any drops. Like, be clean. Catch some balls and be clean.
Just don't look unnatural.
Yeah, don't look, what's that? Mitchell Wilcox.
Don't get hit in the face.
Yeah, don't get hit in the face.
Another, so the next guy on the list.
I hope you're going, you should talk about him if you're up. I don't know if you're up or not, but talk about him.
You're up.
Man.
Yeah, so yeah, sorry. So next up on the list, a guy that looks very natural catching the ball. Mm-hmm. Kenny McIntosh out of Georgia. So at the combine came in at 6 foot, 204, ran a 4.6 240, had a 32-inch vertical jump, a 9 foot and 5 inch broad jump, had a 1.54 10 cone, and or a 10-yard split, that is. And then we learned this right before we did this episode.
Yep.
He had a 7.69 three cone drill. So mm-hmm. Scotty, tell us the numbers.
Yeah, so the 40 at the combine was 29th percentile. Then at his pro day, he ran a worse 40, 4.7 ninth percentile, 7.69 three cone. That is 0 percentile. I don't know if something happened during the whatever, but not good. And then his vertical was 32.5 inches, 31st percentile. Broad jump, 113, 12th percentile. Like these are incredibly poor measurements.
Yeah, that three cone. I don't incredibly. Think I've seen a running back.
No, well, I do these percentiles of like we do our percentiles. We take the measurables from the last 10 classes and then get the percentile rank of that. And he is below the bottom, the 0 percentile number. That's crazy. It's like a tight. There's tight ends that can probably all the tight ends are faster than that. So
yeah,
it's weird and very weird.
I'll let you start off with it, but when I thought I was going to like this guy
mm-hmm.
a good amount because I remember watching Georgia games and watching Stetson Bennett's film first.
He was an important part of that offense there.
Yeah, he stood out. But go ahead, tell. Like to have the dip on this one.
So
the dips on the Gibbs.
Yeah, 42 receptions on 49 targets, and he has hands like a receiver, and he can run routes, and he does not drop the football. So
zero drops.
So if he was a little bit, you know, if he was used like James Cook was used, I would have given him a 10 for receiving, but I only gave him a 9. But as far as doing things that a running back should be able to do, like he's indecisive at times. He needs to run off tackle or outside, or he's got no chance. And he's got above average patience, but he just runs in the blocks like way too much. He has no creativity with his runs. And, you know, a physicality, he's not easy to bring down, but he's just a little above average. And he does not break as many tackles as you would want him to. He runs upright, so he's easy to get leverage on. And you mix that with below average top end speed, which showed up. I don't think he's 4'7". I didn't see what his weight was at the pro day. I don't know if he's trying to bulk up some, and that's why he's slower, but gee. But I didn't think he was very fast. His change of direction's not that good. And he's got an okay jump cut and make a couple moves, but not anything special. Hangs on to the football, only 2 fumbles on 151 carries. And in pass protection, he was good in years past, but he was graded pretty poorly, in this year. So I ended up giving him a 4 for pass protection, but, he got a 60 overall, man. He's number 21. And after this pro day, it makes me want to bump him down to 22. It doesn't matter. He's in the undraftable range for me. What's his role? I mean, can you have a pass catching running back that can't be dynamic in the open field? Yeah, I don't know that you can do that. So, I mean, is he going to, I don't know what his role is. A special teams guy, but doesn't have the speed. Like, I don't know, dude. I think he's probably undraftable now for most NFL teams after this performance.
Yeah, well, his special thing is his receiving ability. So that's his best asset. He's very smooth, very natural. He's a third down receiving back, but the blocking is what hurts him. So that's going to hurt his role, as you said then. So PFF gave him a bad score, but then there's also other things I read were said he's willing to step in and take on the blitzers. So maybe that's his saving grace there. But he's not very good inside the inside runner then. He doesn't have very great vision there. He's needs to improve his block recognition. He doesn't have great acceleration. His top end speed's obviously not great either. His elusiveness is he has a jump cut. He's more elusive in the open field, but at the line, he can't get away from guys. Then, so he's not going to make that.
How in the world did he run 4.6, 4.7 when they ran him off tackle at Georgia? Yeah. They're loaded at running back. How did he get time as the lead back?
I don't know.
They have studs sitting behind him at every single year. Yeah, how did he even get playing time?
Yeah, because the other thing I thought maybe, could this guy be a slot receiver then? Based on his receiving chops then, but not with a 7.693 cone drill.
Yeah.
You have to have like, you have to be cutting on dime and getting away from guys. But so I don't know.
Yeah.
He's in that tier 6 dead zone right now for me. So, if he doesn't get drafted, he's not getting drafted in your fantasy drafts then. So
yeah, this pro day was so bad. I'm going to double check and make sure there wasn't typos because these are reputable sites we're getting it from. So, like, hey, I'm pretty sure it's legit, but man.
I could see him being drafted just from being a Georgia running back. So maybe in like the 6th or 7th round then. And
Yeah, I mean, this is another guy that has some hype. He's not super down on many people's draft boards on these scouting sites. So. Yeah, this is another one. Stay away. Don't mess with him.
Yeah. Name recognition.
Yep.
School recognition is going to definitely make people draft him in your rookie drafts. I see that, but I don't see it. I don't see the path that he has then unless he's strictly a third down back that gets a ton of volume. Is he a JD McKissick? I don't know.
No.
That's the only
way. He's a JD McKissick now, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor. Rip the neck injuries.
Yeah.
Let's move on then. I'm not here to bash guys.
Yeah.
So next up, Kendre Miller at a TCU then. So came in at 5'11", 215 pounds, so good size then. Did not run the 40 or do the time drills at the combine then. But definitely had his breakout year this past year in 2022, ran for about 1,400 yards then, 6.2 yards per carry, 17 touchdowns, 16 receptions for 116 yards at 7.3 yards per pop then. So I know I made you go first with Kenny McIntosh, but did I go first or you went first?
No, I went first. I'd like to go first on this one, but
not
do Kenny, but that's sorry.
Yeah, Kenny. Not Kenny. Sound like Cartman in South Park there. Kenny. But So Kendre Miller. So we probably talked about him the most of any of the running backs via text then when we were scouting then. So I
he's the only running back we talked about. We didn't talk about anybody else. So we don't share scores. We don't talk about anything.
To see what you think of this guy.
Yep.
So this guy, from my reputable sources that I like, then we're not high on him. And so I had this preconceived notion going into him that I wasn't going to like him then. And Scotty cut up a lot of film on him. So kudos to you on that.
I don't listen to anybody else other than us because I just don't have time. So everything that I give you is just all genuine.
I do it on my outreach. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't think I was going to like this guy.
Yeah. But thank God you cut up a lot of film because I watched every single one of these things. And I kept on changing what I was writing and crossing things out and then making it better and better each time.
I had to get a new sheet because my opinion changed drastically.
Yeah. I like him a lot, and I crossed out like I love him a lot now, and a very solid running back, NFL running back. He was TCU, so he's the reason why TCU got into BCS bowl game and got to the national championship game, and he didn't play in the national championship game.
Now, that's Max why Duggan was destroyed. Was a stud. Like he was Max Duggan should have won the Heisman. So like I don't know, I agree with all that. But Kendre Miller was pretty daggone good though.
But who wasn't there in the championship game?
Well,
Kendre Miller. So this guy, I think he has very good vision. I think he has very good patience, allows a lineman to engage then. He's a physical back. He gets the extra yardage. He has a great leg drive and strength then. I had good balance here at first, but then I changed it to great, and then I changed it to amazing balance. He looks out of control at times then, but he's just regaining his balance then and sheds those tackles and bounces off guys. So I was very impressed by that then. His top end speed I thought was pretty good then. He was able to have these explosive plays and break away from defensive backs then.
Give me your 40.
I think he's probably a 4.5. A 4.4. 4.4, 4.5.
I said 4.45.
Yep. 4.45 is that's what I'm trying to say there. The 4.45, but yeah, I thought he pulled away from guys. Then you saw that. I think his top end speed is probably ultimately better than his quickness. Then I still think he's a decent acceleration. Then so it's not like a knock on him, but I think he's does build up a little bit more to that top end speed. Then and then his elusiveness. So he has a nice spin move then. He has a nice jump cut. He has a sidestep. He's not like extremely elusive, but he's definitely slippery. And like I said, with that contact balance, I think that makes him in a very good spot then. And then his receiving wise then, he had two drops, but he wasn't asked to do it a lot. But on the catches that I saw then, looked decent.
You like that one-handed snag he had there?
Yeah. Yep. I'm like,
you can't catch that ball unless you have some talent.
So. I'm like, I'm giving you a 7 then.
Why I gave him a 7 too.
And then they had two fumbles, but with the volume that he received this year, that wasn't that bad then. And I actually put him down, my comp, I think he's a faster Kareem Hunt. That's what I was looking at. I don't think he's as good a receiver.
He's a better running back than Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I think he has that contact balance. I think he has the just that vision and some of that power. Then I'm debating about putting him as my number 3 running back. So he's in that third tier with a few other guys. I think it's between him, Charbonnet, and another guy as far as the being that third overall running back. But I liked him a lot. Like I love him a lot now.
Yep.
So and I said I gave you the notion that I was trying to make it seem like I didn't like him when I texted you just so you I would cloud your vision like and to make you love him.
Yep.
But I think we ultimately came away similar.
So
then.
There was one game where he had a lot of sort of muddy runs where he just went into the between the tackles. And that's where I think he's not as good, like those inside runs. If there's one nitpicky thing, I feel like he felt he had trouble finding running lanes when he was running, up the gut and such. So he had a lot of those runs. And after watching that game and then another game, and I didn't see like the other big top end explosive stuff, I was like, I'll give you my early grade based on two films, and it's not good. And then I started, you were like, you better watch the film. So I said, all right, I'm going to go watch all the games.
Watch them all.
So I watched every game. And I had to rewrite his, you know, his evaluation, because every game it seemed like he was doing something that surprised me.
Like, can you see all the stuff I have crossed out here? Like, just down here, like all this yep. crossed out and mm-hmm. rewritten. And
yeah, I already wadded up the other one, so.
Yeah.
But mine looks pretty ugly. But anyway, so I think he can be a three-down running back. His vision is definitely above average. He's much better with those outside design runs. Good to great patience. And sometimes he's a little too patient and it hurts him. He could use his blocks a little bit better, but this is all very much, like, I gave him an 8. And I'm nitpicking him here because he's really good. Physicality and breaking tackles, I gave him 10s because he's that special. He is, I mean, he's not going to like run you over, but he doesn't seek contact, but he finds contact and he gets through it. He breaks quite a bit of tackles, and his contact balance is maybe the best in the class. We talked about what we think the speed's going to be. The thing is, I think he's 4.45 or faster, because when he got to the second level, they didn't catch him.
Yeah.
So he faster than, like, somebody who does this is Bijan. Bijan doesn't run full speed every play. So is he fast? Like, is he faster than what he shows on film? Maybe Kenny is. So Kendra here.
I think Miller is faster than Bijan.
If he is, dude, he is the top three,
like,
back.
Bijan was like a 4.45. So that's why I was saying, like, maybe 4.4 4.45.
If he gets close to 4.4 range, gee Louise, like, I'm extremely excited. And then you mix that with, I thought actually he has an array of moves. Like, you saw it, really good jump cut, really good stiff arm, got a spin. His lateral foot quickness is dynamite. And he making that first guy miss, just like Charbonnet. That first guy misses almost every time. And it's great for somebody that's 215 pounds, 5'11", 215. So that's, he just sexy feet, man.
I'm throwing the hearts up, man.
Oh, I see that. I got that. So, two drops. With 16 receptions, 22 targets. And so I gave him a 7 there for catching the ball. Good ball security and pass blocking, he didn't grade out the best. So he only got a 4 there, but he got an 80, a solid 80. And I thought after I watched his film, like, I really liked him, but I felt like I loved Charbonnet so much that it wasn't going to be close. And they ended up with literally the same score. And it's because Charbonnet's, not as fast, so I think that probably is what brought the scores closer together. But right now, they're literally 3 and 4, and the more that I talk about Kendre Miller, the more I love him, man. I think he's getting hype. I mean, there's a lot of places that have him higher up on their boards, but I love Kendre Miller. Goodness sakes. Put him in. He's a top 6 pick if he gets the draft capital. Him and Charbonnet are. They should be in a tier to themselves, probably. I like a guy a lot, but I think they're probably in a third tier out of themselves. So,
yeah, 80, I have
80.
I have in the single QB league. I have pick 1, 4, and 6. And I recently
You'll get him.
I recently traded for. I wasn't planning to take 2 wide receivers because I needed wide receivers, but I recently traded for Pittman and DJ Moore then. So I'm a lot deeper wide receiver now, and I had to trade a running back off my team then. But I wasn't planning to draft a running back at 4 or 6 then.
Oh, yeah. Charbonnet and Miller, you should get your pick. Probably.
Yeah, I think that Kendre Miller could Charbonnet's probably already being projected for that 4 to 6 range than in your rookie draft right now. But I'd be happy with Kendre Miller, depending on landing spot, of course.
Yeah.
And if he gets killed, obviously, I'm not going to be spending that high of draft capital.
Name a team that would just piss you off if they went there, like Baltimore. Like, come on.
Baltimore, Seattle.
Yeah, just like
New York.
I mean, I'd be fine with him in Seattle. Maybe Walker's not able to handle the load, and they want to use Walker as a.
Well, you know, Pete Carroll's not going to kill one of these.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
that's what Pete Carroll does. He's the bane of my existence.
But yeah, just I hope these land every year.
San Francisco would be another tough one, mm-hmm. then, just because of the McCaffrey. But
there's a lot of good spots. So
yeah,
and he's phenomenal. So I like him too. What score did you give him?
I gave him a 73, but like I said, I'm stingier. Stingier when it gets
and
to the top.
He was your number three.
You know. I want to bump him up as far as the elusiveness here now. I want to bump him up as far as his contact balance. I gave him eights there, but I want to give an eight.
Yep. I don't give score. I give tens out when tens are deserved. Some people don't, but
he's got 74 now. So
yeah, that's better.
That puts him at number three.
Yeah, I think it'd be real hard for me if we were in a Zach Charbonnet, Kendre Miller. You know, we're probably going to have this decision draft. So
I'm pretty sure about it then. But
we'll see.
I'd be happy with either one, but I'm edging towards Kendre Miller just from because, like I said, we talked about it earlier. How you got to have that one that pass catching, which we said he can do.
Well, I can guarantee you one thing: more Zach Charbonnet is going to be a pretty solid second day of the draft pick. So he's going to have the draft capital that maybe Miller won't. So that might, I don't know, that might, doesn't mean everything, but
then Miller has the explosiveness and that home run potential that Charbonnet does not then. So that's where we're separating.
That speed. Yep.
Yeah. But like I said, and Charbonnet is more of a power back probably in between the tackles, but this guy can do
and can catch the ball. That's the other thing. He can catch the ball. So it's,
but
that's why the landing spot is going to matter because it's going to be. Who can utilize the skill set of those players the best? So
yeah, that's why I have them both in the tier three. Then but I love them. I love them. One more time.
Throw up the hearts.
One more time. Yeah, there they are. Kendre Miller. So, but yeah, I love the guys when you're thinking one way and it changes your mind completely watching the film. Then
yep,
because if you just that's why I said like we don't you. Listeners may think differently about what we say then too. So if you don't agree with us, watch the film then, see what you think and make up your own mind. Then we're just trying to give you a direction and some guidance here. But like I said, Kendre Miller is one of those guys. And like I said, I have people I trust and I have people I listen to as well then too and people I read then. And like I said, I got a completely opposite opinion by watching the film then. So that's why
there's going to be these prospects that you just don't like that other people love. Like last year, Isaiah Pacheco, I still don't like Isaiah Pacheco, but somehow
I have an Isaiah Pacheco comp for the next show.
Well, I buy it, but I think I have a better comp. So I know you're going to probably know who you're going to say. And I think I have a better comp. So we'll see.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Running Backs 2023 Part 3 coming here very shortly. So check out the film on YouTube. Scotty cut up hundreds of films then at our channel, The Dynasty Interview. Like, subscribe, and see what you think. But I think that's all we got for you tonight. Anything else, Scotty?
Nope.
Okay. Well, this is Joseph Adrian signing off.
And this is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.